Ryan Rashaga joins us from Los Angeles, where evidently based on Twitter, he's been working on his tan more than working on his stand-up. How's the tan going, Rashaga?
I had a long way to go, man. I'm pretty pasty. Long way to go. It's going to take more than a couple of days in L.A. to get this thing going.
So do they have any, like, obviously it's in L.A. I've seen they've got quite the array of musicians performing at various events this week. Obviously, it's a little bit easier to get the big stars to come out when they live right there. So this one, I guess, will have all of the panache, maybe more than usual for an All-Star game.
But no John Scott. I mean, it's L.A., right? So they'll get. I haven't even seen the full lineup. I don't know everybody that's going to be and everybody that's going to be part of the entertainment. But yeah, this is an area the NHL can come to and probably up the star power a little. I mean, for goodness sakes, Don Draper's hosting the event tonight. So for every guy that ever watched Mad Men and wanted to be Don Draper, he's here tonight. I mean, it's good. And like, they do their best to kind of prop it up. There's lots of signage everywhere. There's lots of events happening in the square. And it's interesting to kind of walk around here and see, because I know that the Oilers modeled Ice District in some ways around the LA Live model. And so, you know, as you walk around here, you see all the different restaurants and all the businesses that have been drawn into this area, and there's lots of different choices, and wonder one day in Edmonton what it'll end up looking like around there, because it's from an atmosphere standpoint, it's pretty cool down here when they get it going.
Well, yeah, I've been to LA Live, and it's fantastic, right? Like, it helps with the weather, too. Let's make no mistake about it. But
sure.
You know, Edmonton's probably, 4 or 5 years till everything's complete around, which is, you know, I went to LA Live when they first had it, the rink done, and they were a little bit different because they had a lot of other things established. But even then, there were still vacancies and new buildings coming up. And yeah, I'm sure if you took a picture now of the arena and what it's going to look like, the surrounding area in 5 years, I think Edmontonians would be quite impressed.
And there's quite a bit of construction happening on high rises right in this area, so they're either being refurbished or torn down and new ones put up, so you can kind of see the impact that all of this infrastructure has had on the kind of the surrounding area even as you go a few blocks out. So it's not a total success. Like, it's nice, it's good, it's a good setup and everything, but you know, like I told the guys on the morning show today, you know, here we are with the NHL in town and the All-Star game and signs everywhere and lights and all this sort of stuff, pomp and NHL circumstance, and I go to a restaurant last night with the crew and we try and get the Oilers game on and they can't put it up because they don't have the NHL package. I mean, I could have, with a 9-iron, I could have hit the arena, but they didn't have the NHL package. So every once in a while, you kind of get hit in the face with the fact that it's still California and they don't really care that much about hockey here for the most part. And but, I mean, they've got this outdoor rink going that's just a puddle today. It's an absolute puddle. So I'm not sure how that's working out for them.
Well, you know what? It's it's tough. I guess if you can have the outdoor games in Southern California, when you've got the big rink and you've got all of the equipment necessary to keep the ice, but I'm assuming they're not using the same stuff there.
No, it's not the full setup. They just wanted to have an outdoor ice rink where people could skate around, and it's better in the evenings because it cools off and then they get it frozen up again. But during the day, it's just a slew, it's just a puddle. There's not even anybody on it, so that's got to be Dan Craig's worst nightmare. Which, by the way, Pierre LeBrun, we did a hit today, and Pierre talked about the fact that Dan Craig is in town and actually is going to be part of the Board of Governors meeting tomorrow, where he will have to answer some questions about some of the ice that has been popping up in buildings around the league this year. It's been an issue, whether it's Pittsburgh, whether it's Edmonton, in some pretty major centers, the ice has been an issue. So that'll be addressed a little bit tomorrow with Dan Craig and the Board of Governors.
Well, I know Parker had put out a picture that they were moving the banners at Rogers Place to hopefully improve airflow.
Well, if you look at the banners in Rogers, you can see that they are always flapping. Like, they're always, and that's because they were put in a spot that I believe the airflow is, and it's supposed to flow directly down onto the ice, and that's part of what helps keep the ice in good condition. Yet the banners went in and were put in a spot that's kind of obstructing the airflow. So I think they have had to move them. I don't know how far they moved them or where they moved them, but one of the problems that they've had at Edmonton. And, I mean, to have a brand-new building the way they have and not have great ice in a winter climate town is it's a little bit of a head-scratcher. And from what I understand, there was no expense spared on the ice plant either. So for whatever reason, it hasn't been up to snuff, and they need to get it fixed, because if anywhere needs to have good ice, a winter climate building, you would think they'd be able to get it sorted out. So, like I said, not an easy job. I wouldn't want to have to do it, and the NHL is going to be proactive in getting to the bottom of it, I think.
Ryan Hrshaug from TSN joins us. So, Ryan, the Oilers into the All-Star break. Now they are tied with the San Jose Sharks. They're one up on the Anaheim Ducks. I don't think they could have asked for a more successful brief two-game road trip than outscoring the Sharks and Ducks 8-1, and winning both games. Cam Talbot played excellent. They got contributions from a lot of players. There were no passengers. There's, you know, Zach Cassian scores a highlight reel goal. Drake Kajula scores a huge goal. You know, two guys you wouldn't necessarily expect it. And that's how you have to win. You can't win just with McDavid and Draisaitl, who, of course, keep producing. It's the fact that, you know, they're getting other guys scoring key goals at key times.
Well, see, and this is the thing. They've pushed it to another level. They're getting better. And a month and a half ago, we were talking about, still talking about how legit are they as a playoff team, and they built themselves a nice little cushion, but which way was it going to go, and could they sustain it? And we had the sense that they would be able to. I think people felt that they'd be able to, but what we never really talked a lot about was can they push it to another level? Can they actually even get better and get into the conversation legitimately for winning a division? And part of what we discussed was how Todd McLellan was going to get harder in these moments, more tough on his players to push even more, even though success was coming, that he needed to put the screws to them and push for even higher standards. And so what we've seen recently, I think, is a result of the group not being satisfied. And that starts with Todd, and then it's the leadership group, and then it's these players. And so what we've seen is standards raised to a degree where just being in a playoff spot doesn't make them happy enough. They want to push for more. And then what happened on the ice was a lot of the players who were playing real well maintained their level, and guys who weren't have come around. And so now you've got Jordan Eberle playing really good hockey the last few games. You've got Benoit Pouliot even giving them more. That third line scoring a little bit with Kajula chipping in, Cassian chipping in. They've pushed it now to another level, and we never really talked about that before. Can they hit another level and challenge for a division? Well, heading into the All-Star break, they knock off Anaheim and San Jose on back-to-back nights. Cam Talbot shoots the lights out. Now he's going to get a nice rest. There should be no reason why the Oilers can't challenge for a division with what they've shown themselves capable of so far.
Ryan Hrshaug from TSN joins us from Los Angeles at the All-Star game. So what's your story? What's your angle? What are you looking to uncover?
You know, All-Star games are funny. There's not a lot. I mean, we don't have John Scott to chase around. I mean, Connor McDavid is going to be the man here. Like, I mean, the young talent that's at this All-Star game is going to be fantastic. They released some of the skills competition matchups, and it'll be fun. Like, McDavid will be in the accuracy shooting, I believe, head-to-head against Patrick Laine. Crosby will be head-to-head against Austin Matthews. So there's going to be some fun matchups. The one thing I do have to say is that, I mean, I've covered a lot of different large-scale hockey events, and I have never seen an event that is as much a who's who as this event is. This is staggering. You walk through the hotel lobby, and, I mean, there is hockey royalty in every single direction. They're all here for the hunt for the 100. And it's amazing. I mean, walk into the lobby last night and you see Yari Curry and Sergei Fedorov sitting there, and then you turn to your right and it's Chris Pronger and Nick Lidstrom, and then you look behind you and Gretzky walk by. It's unbelievable the caliber of hockey royalty that is converged on LA for this week, and it's pretty cool. We were talking about it. I don't know when this is going to happen again.
Did you text Timberlake, tell him to show up?
Yeah, well, they're spoiled. Yeah, like you said, they can get the biggest stars. You would think he'd be here, but I don't know, man. I don't know if hockey's his deal. I feel like it's not quite so much. More of a basketball NFL guy, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. Do you? Now, I know that Snoop Dogg's performing. Who are the other musical acts they got going?
Oh, Oh man, you know what? I honestly don't have the list in front of me. That's not really something I'm that focused on. I don't know, maybe Mageau can take a quick look and we can go over. I know there's a Canadian band that's involved. But yeah, and I can't get to the Google machine fast enough to try and get an answer for you.
Okay, I was just curious if I read or Snoop Dogg the other day, and I'm really been paying attention to all of them, but
yeah, I'm not exactly up to speed on all the latest happenings musically, so I could probably read the list off and pretend like I'm impressed or that I know it, but I don't necessarily. But whatever, it's all good. They usually bring a decent level of talent in, and I'm hoping to at least see Don Draper at some point. I mean, I don't know if you watch Mad Men or not, but I mean, he was just the man. So I'd like to at least get a glimpse of Don Draper at some point in time.
Would he be above your list of Timberlake?
No.
Oh, okay.
Don't talk silliness. I mean, it was a good show, but come on.
And just so you know, his name's John Hamm, not Don Draper.
Yeah, I know
who,
what his name is.
Well,
he's Don Draper.
Because it would be odd John if Hamm. You walked up to him. Hi, Don.
I'm sure he gets that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he gets that a lot. And I wore nothing but classic, like, 60s-style suits for the week in honor of John Hamm being here. So just, like, the straight pocket squares, simple grays and whites, nice and Mad Men style, keeping it simple.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Oshog, are the Oilers, Brian Boyle. I do a different player every week as trade options. Brian Boyle's...
Okay.
Unrestricted free agent, 32 years of age, 6'7", 245-pound center, who has 12 goals this season, has played in two Stanley Cup finals in the last three seasons, has a $2 million cap hit, as unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. Tampa Bay is currently 6 points out of the playoffs and seems to be spinning their wheels more than gaining any traction. So if he's available, I'd rather have Boyle over Hanzel because Boyle has way more playoff experience and I think is a little bit grittier. What do you think?
Well, I definitely agree that he can be grittier and bring that game a little bit better, for sure. From an offensive standpoint, I don't know. Like, Boyle hasn't produced much of anything in the playoffs. I mean, he had the one goal where he had the one year where he had the five goals. But, I mean, through the Rangers' run and through that other run Tampa had, I remember covering him and sort of generally thinking, he didn't produce as much as I thought or wasn't as big a factor as I thought he could be. But look, he would be brought in to be basically a third-line guy to win faceoffs. So I think, and it's interesting with Tampa, like, we'll have to wait and see what they do. It's a disappointing year for Yzerman for sure, but that East is so funny, and nobody, I don't know at what point they start to count themselves out of it. But if they do, and if Boyle is available, he should definitely be a target for the Oilers. No question. You put him right there with Hanzel. I don't know what the return is supposed to be. I mean, holy smokes, if what Elliot Friedman was reporting the other day that the Montreal Canadiens were asked for in return for Martin Hanzel, I think they talked about Mike McCarron in a couple of draft picks. Oh, that is heavy, heavy stuff for a guy that on most teams isn't even is a third-line center. So if prices are as high as it sounds like they might be, they might be better off being careful.
Yeah, I don't expect them to have to pay that much. Plus, I think Boyle will be way more cost effective than Martin Hanzel. Like, I guess I'm not on the Hanzel train as so many people are. I'm kind of meh with Martin Hanzel. He's not a guy who wows me. Like, he has four.
Don't you think he's always underachieved for when you watch him play, for how big he is, how well he moves, and the hands that he has? He should have done more, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I would look at, like, Boyle's career high is 21 goals in a season, right? Hanzel's career high is 16. So, you know, now granted, Boyle did that once. But, you know, he has 12 goals this year in 44 games. Hanzel has 10 in 40. Hanzel's a little bit better of a playmaker. There's no doubt about that. So, I guess I look at value because I don't think the Oilers are set to blow off the doors and you know, be a real cup contender. Now, maybe they could surprise, and hey, if they win a round, that's unbelievable. If you can get Brian Boyle and he helps you win a round, to me, it's worth it because I think the return would be less, and I like his experience factor. The Oilers don't have a lot of playoff experience.
Yeah, so what are you giving up for him, though?
Oh, I mean, that's well, the problem, I went back and looked at trade deadline deals. Like, it's Brian Boyle. Right, and Brian Boyle's probably a draft, like a third-round pick and a prospect. Looking at the previous draft history, he's like, what teams ask for on January 30th and what they get on March 3rd? Very, very two different things, right?
Some years, yes. Some years, for sure. I think the crop of unrestricted free agents, pending unrestricted free agents, is pretty thin. It's pretty weak. And so I think that could mean prices end up a little bit higher for the guys who are available. We'll have to wait and see how it shakes out. But if you can get them without a significant overpayment, I mean, like, look at Montreal the other day with Tampa.
Like, Teddy Purcell got it was a third-round pick to get Teddy Purcell, who was way more of a productive offensive player than Brian Boyle's ever been in his career.
Yeah, but he had an ugly contract going with him. And it wasn't, I mean, it was an ugly contract that was attached to him, even though it was only for a bit of the year. At that point, it wasn't pretty. Boyle, as a pending unrestricted free agent on a reasonable deal, probably you can probably get a little bit more for him because the team isn't taking on a big nasty chunk of salary. So, I mean, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what prices look like. But if you're asking me, do I think he can help the Oilers? Yes, yeah. I absolutely do. He can win faceoffs. He's a big guy, and he allows them to keep Kajula on the wing, not rely on Kajula as a third line center in a playoff series, which. Maybe by the trade deadline, Drake Kajula's game will be in a place where Peter Chiarelli can go, you know what, for the difference of what Kajula's going to give us versus what Brian Boyle's going to give us, I'm just going to ride him and just see what happens. And he may get to that place. But for a little while there, it was looking like Kajula, never mind being the third-line center, probably needed some AHL time. And they need to be careful about hitting the playoffs with a guy that's in that kind of a position. So I think they're going to probably wait and see where he's at and then make the call.
Jogger, enjoy L.A., get a tan, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds good, pal. Have a great weekend.